The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
He was once a young man with music in his hands. Now he is a shadow of himself, digging what he fears will be his own grave. This is 24-year-old Evyatar David, kidnapped on October 7th from the Nova Music Festival, and now a living skeleton in the tunnels of Gaza. Pale, emaciated, and visibly weak, David appears in a Hamas propaganda video that his own family reluctantly allowed to be shared. In the footage, he speaks with a voice barely above a whisper and digs a grave, fearing it is meant for himself. His family calls it a horror beyond words.
This past weekend, Hamas and Islamic Jihad cruelly released horrifying videos of our hostages.
The family of Evyatar David, who there is saying he is in one of the tunnels, he's a hostage and he's digging his own grave. And this was released by Hamas, but the family, more importantly, of Evyatar David, want this video to be seen to show the horror of what this young man has been forced to endure since October 7th in 2023.
The horrible images of the hostages were painfully missing from the front pages of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and most of the global media. There are still 50 hostages cruelly being held in the dungeons of Gaza. We see the dire condition of our starved hostages, yet they still have not seen representatives of the Red Cross, despite this being explicitly agreed upon.
The response in the West represented the total eclipse of conscience, of justice, and of reason. Rationality itself.
מה שאני עושה עכשיו, אני חופר את הקבר, הקבר שמיד מבחינתי לי, כי כל יום שעובר, כל יום שעובר הגוף שלי הולך, נחלש, ירזה יותר וחלש יותר. מבחינתי זה נראה שאני בדרך למוות שלי. אני חופר עצמי את הקבר שבו אני אולי ישכב, ובאמת כל יום שהולך ועובר הזמן נגמר, הזמן הולך ועוזל, ורק אתם תוכלו לעצור את זה כדי שנוכל לשכב במיטה שלי.
If the BBC or the New York Times are really interested in a story about actual starvation in Gaza, well, it's happening in the Hamas tunnels, but here's where it gets difficult for them, because the victims are Jews. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning. The live video stream is at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. We're off and running. It's going to be a busy next couple of weeks getting the new school year for Armstrong College kicked off next week. So we might have a couple of subs here and there, but I'll be active at school. And for this show, we'll keep things moving as best we can. So if you look at the last couple of weeks, some of the biggest stories. The Russia hoax, for one. Nothing about that, by the way, on Morning Joe this morning. They're too busy with baseball and, I don't know, a few other things. It's lighter fare. Oh, well, Trump fired somebody, so that's a huge story. Here's the biggest hoax in American political history, and it doesn't even get a mention. Because if they address it, it destroys their precious, precious narrative of 10 years. And it's the same here with Hamas. I mean, where are the war crimes? Where is the actual starvation happening? That's not to say there aren't any people in Gaza suffering. There are. But who's to blame for that? Israel or Hamas? Of course it's Hamas. And yet some of the smartest people, even on the conservative side, can't seem to grasp this. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, that the spirit of God's mind is soundness. The spirit of God. It's the spirit of a sound mind. Why are we seeing so much derangement? So much delusional reasoning? It's all over the place. Melanie Phillips, you saw her there in the cold open. She wrote just today about the moral inversion that's all around us. She wrote, it makes me think of her book many years ago, The Upside Down World. I mean, what you would think would be right is wrong, and what you think would be wrong is right. It's just like Isaiah the prophet prophesied. I mean, what's up and down is down, and what's black is white. This is the world we're living in. I mean, these two huge storylines, the Russia collusion hoax and then the starvation hoax in Gaza. This is Satan's world. And you can see it's a world filled with lies and deception. And people put more time and energy into spreading fake and false narratives than they do in actually confronting problems. You know, we're coming up on the 20-year anniversary of the eviction of those Jews in Gaza. Israel, Israeli forces, because Palestinians can't be expected to live alongside Jews. So Israel went in there 20 years ago this month and removed every last Jew from every last square inch of Gaza. And then look at where we are today. People looking like they're in Dachau or Treblinka. This poor man is there saying, I'm digging my own grave. I've only got a little bit longer to live. Please help me. Please save me. I mean, now would be a good time for another Entebbe operation to rescue 50 hostages? Almost 2 years in the tunnels, starving to death. And yet Hamas, I mean, they take pictures over in Yemen of a sick little baby and say, look at what Israel's doing to the people of Gaza. They're starving babies. Israel's letting all kinds of humanitarian aid flow in to Gaza. A lot of it's getting stuck at the border because of the UN, because of Hamas. America's funding a lot of the humanitarian aid. It's all there. I mean, as I've said, who does this? Huckabee, I think it was, pointed out that, you know, we were maybe it's Mark Levin. I've got quite a few clips here today, but you know, when we were bombing Dresden, nobody was demanding that the U.S. and Britain also feed the civilians of Dresden at the same time, back in World War II, I mean. But today, you see the standard that Israel is held to. It is impossible. And it's also a standard that requires defeat, not of Hamas, but of Israel. That's the spirit behind it. Israel must surrender. And then just brace itself for another October 7. These are the choices. Continue to destroy Hamas and have the whole world align against you. Or call for a ceasefire. Let the hostages, I guess, die in the tunnels. And then just hunker down and wait for another October 7 massacre. Think of the timing of Hamas releasing these videos. I mean, it comes just days after they faked the photo of the starving Gazan child. And then out, and you know how the New York Times responded to that story, and the BBC, and the Washington Post, and everybody. I mean, they took it and ran with it, and it was a complete and total fake, a total phony. And then here you have actual starvation and nothing, silence. Releasing these terrible images of starved Jews who look like inmates of the Nazi death camps, Melanie Phillips writes, was designed to throw the Holocaust into the Jews' faces by saying, look, here it is again, But now the world doesn't care and is blaming you instead for being the Nazis. Here comes Hamas, just days after they successfully pulled off the hoax with the starving baby. And now they're just waving it in Israel's face. Look at what we can do. The whole world is against you. They believe our propaganda. I mean, this really is sickening, satanic stuff through and through. It was a triumphant taunt that Israel was powerless to prevent the second Holocaust that Hamas never stops announcing it is planning. They just go forward. They taunt Israel. They hold on to the hostages. Never mind what Israel does or what President Trump says. They film the hostages. They film the hostages digging their own graves. And you know, good for the family of Evitar David to allow for this video to be released. Hamas wants to promote it. I mean, the West would have covered it up. That's what they do. I mean, they won't even cover the atrocities of October 7. They cover up these heinous crimes, war crimes, all of them. Raping women in front of their children. Goes on and talks about Keir Starmer, Emmanuel Macron, the Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, all of them saying, we've got to give them a state. You know what this calls for? A Palestinian state. Well, the Palestinians had a state. Well, they still do until Hamas is destroyed and Israel occupies it again. 20 years on, just going back to the eviction notice that those 10,000 Jews got in 2005. What if we're coming up on this anniversary, 20 years on, you would think there would be some sane people saying, you know, this is a teaching moment for us. You know, because 20 years, we left every square inch of Gaza, Israel did, and turned it over to what became Hamas because the people of Gaza voted for them. And here, 20 years later, we've experienced our worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. And now we're still trying to get 50 hostages out of the tunnels, and they're starving to death. And the whole world stands against us. How did we get here? And furthermore, what can we learn from, you know, two states living alongside each other? What can we learn about the land for peace approach to making peace? There's none of those in the way of teaching moments. It's just derangement. It's just total derangement. Listen to Mike Huckabee. He was speaking in Jerusalem over the weekend, clip 5.
I pray that there will come a time when the lights will come on for people around the world, mostly in Europe. I don't understand them. Emmanuel Macron has said that he's going to unilaterally recognize a Palestinian state. Just do it. It's really not that bad of an idea, provided that he wants to host that state along the French Riviera, which I think would be a perfect fitting opportunity.
So easy for these weak Western leaders to just say or practically demand what ought to be done, so long as Israel takes the hits. So long as Israelis are starving to death. So long as the October 7 massacre takes out 1,200 Israelis and 250 hostages. Well, you know, France, they've had a few terrorist attacks as well. But I guess they just move on from that. And then they hear that they see the same thing happen on a massive scale with Israel. Who do these people think they are to demand these things of the Jews? Starmer, Carney, Macron. Try putting a Palestinian state alongside the French Riviera. Or, you know, try putting it alongside the UK somewhere. Or Canada, wherever. It's derangement. Melanie says this lie has been assiduously spread throughout the West by Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Palestinian Authority, that the Jews are the villains, she means, which has been promoting for decades. The monstrous claim that the Israelis are Nazis, bent on genocide, a stupendous inversion aimed to conceal the PA's own Nazi roots. It's exactly the opposite of what people are accepting as truth. Lies and deception. Hamas hit pay dirt with their release of the pictures of emaciated children who they said were being starved to death by Israel in Gaza. Israel, you see, Israel's responsible for what's going on inside this Palestinian state. Now, it is true that they're at war. It is true that buildings have been demolished in Gaza. But how did we get to this place? Why is there a war? Why did Israel have to bomb Gaza? Well, you go back to the root cause. Always. Well, really, you could go back to October 7 and say that's a root cause. I would submit to you that August of 2005 is the root cause. Just let's remove every Jew from Gaza. Jews! Removing Jews! Because that's the demands the world community puts upon them. And the Palestinians and Hamas and Iran, everybody. Just get out. Get out. We cannot coexist with you. Now, Israel can coexist with Palestinian Arabs or Israeli Arabs in its own state. They've got about 1.5 million of them. And we'll see how that turns out before it's all said and done. Zechariah 14, 1 and 2. Read it. Read what's prophesied for the city of Jerusalem. The meaning of that name is city of peace, but peace is not coming to Jerusalem until the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. He came the first time to announce, listen to the simplicity of this, because you don't get it in the traditional Christian world. He came the first time to announce the establishment of the soon coming kingdom of God on earth. The second time, He establishes that kingdom on earth. How simple is that? And yet we get so caught up in lies and deception and fake narratives that we're totally distracted from the truth. The truth of, in this case, the gospel. The gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God. And yet it's hardly even discussed in the world of traditional Christianity. What a shame. I mean, that's our hope. That's what we seek. That's what we pray for. Read Matthew 6. You get the prayer outline, and then at the end of the chapter, it says, seek you first the kingdom of God. You're seeking after it. You're pursuing it. It's not something that's already there in your heart because you think you've been saved. You pursue it earnestly. How do you do that? Well, it starts with conversion to the truth or baptism, the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, and then a life of growing and developing godly character. And then it results in the marriage between Jesus Christ and the church, and then that family working to re-educate the whole world and to bring billions and billions of God beings or human beings into the God family. Well, that's just a little synopsis of Mystery of the Ages. I mentioned that last week. But that's where our minds need to be, even as we look at these atrocities play out. How could we be? I'm going through this book talking about the founders and what it meant for them, the founders of America, what it meant for them to pursue after happiness. Today, we think it's just about, you know, pleasure seeking. But all of them, every single one, even the ones that weren't necessarily religious, to pursue after a happy, joyous state of being, you have to better the self. You have to seek self-improvement. You have to become men and women of character. You can't just sit back and think that pleasure is going to satisfy that void that's in there. God created us to fill the void. I mean, we were incomplete from the very beginning. Read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. But God offered us the tree of life. Adam and Eve rejected it, and God cut off all of humanity from His spirit, His mind, His way of thinking, And that's why the Bible says we don't know the way to peace. We don't know how to negotiate for peace. We don't know how to solve the problems of this world. The problems just keep getting worse because man's character keeps getting worse. At least if you, these weren't men of God, but at least they were men who read the Bible, so many of them, and women. Look at Abigail Adams. Look at the letters. Look at what they talked about. They knew. They knew. There was an obvious connection between private morality, how we lived individually, and the health of the whole nation. And there's a sickness that's set in, and you see it. You see it. I think it was George Washington that said, if you don't have morality and character, you, as an individual, you're going to have anxiety and strife internally. And he said, making the connection, he said, if you don't have it as a nation, well, you're just going to break off into all of these separate mobs fighting with each other. And that's what, on a large scale, that's what we're seeing in the world. What did she title it? The War of Moral Inversion. How could so many people just swallow lies and be so convinced that it's the truth? At least Donald Trump, I mean, she says a little bit later on about how Melanie Phillips, as a result, with the connivance of the UN working hand in hand with Hamas to produce twisted claims of famine and with the media publishing yet more false allegations that the IDF were deliberately killing Gazans in the aid queues, much of the West, including President Trump and VP Vance, fell for the lie. Well, President Trump's not gone in hook, line, and sinker as much as Starmer and Macron and Carney. This is what he said recently, clip 11.
Do you see evidence of a genocide in Gaza?
I don't think it's sad. Look, they're in a war. There, some horrible things happened on October 7th, as you know. It was a horrible, horrible thing. One of the worst I've ever seen.
One of the worst he's ever seen, and he's right. He's right. That's why they've tried to scrub it from history. Only 2 years on, it's already gone down the memory hole. And what are we hearing? Babies! Babies in Gaza! Now, I think it was the babies on October 7 that were massacred by Hamas. And the civilians came streaming in by the thousands to loot the place as well. The same civilians that voted Hamas into power in 2006. And there hasn't been a vote since. A totalitarian state, a police state, a terrorist state, and Israel somehow. Here we are in 2025. Israel somehow is the villain carrying out genocide. This was Tucker Carlson interviewing a retired army officer. His name is Tony Aguilar. And he actually went into Gaza. And Tucker, of course, he's the new Tucker. You know, what happened to Tucker? We could probably have a whole program on this. But he's eager to sit down, not with the parents or the family of the people actually starving in the tunnels of Hamas. But he sits down with this guy and listen to this guy's take on what's happening in Gaza. Clip 9.
The civilian population in Gaza, politics aside, political views, religious positions aside, they are being oppressed. Food, water, education, life, dignity. And I wanted to be a part of going in to help in some way.
So what did you see when you arrived? What were your perceptions of Gaza?
So my initial perceptions of Gaza, just in terms of the physical aspect, is that I would just describe it as post-apocalyptic. It's human depravity. It's the oppression of dignity. It's the entire area, like, in, for example, in the south, in Rafah. I saw pictures of Rafah prior to the current war, and there were nice buildings, there were beach resorts, there were, you know, street lights and neighborhoods, and now it is leveled to the ground. There is not a building that stands.
Wow, I mean, he's seen pictures. Beautiful beachfront properties. Sky rises, I guess. Lots of... What he's saying is that for 20 years, Hamas has been, I mean, they've been governing splendidly. Oh, yes. Yeah, the people of Gaza love Hamas's rule. And furthermore, what you hear him saying, if you read between the lines, people are suffering in Gaza. People are being oppressed. It's post-apocalyptic. And who is to blame? The dirty Jews. That's who. Shame on Tucker Carlson. As I say, I'll be waiting to see if he sits down with the parents of David, who's in the tunnels, looking like he's at Dachau, digging his own grave. When you've got, again, the aim here, this is why Hamas is taunting Israel, because they know all their bosses in Qatar, they're watching CNN and BBC closely. And you know what they're watching closest of all? The divide in MAGA, because if they can split the Republicans who support Donald Trump, I've told you about the two camps in President Trump's ears. One that's saying, look, we got to defend Israel. And the other that's saying, look, Israel's the problem here. What are we doing? Just cut loose of Israel. Well, Tucker's in that camp now, turning into a chief propagandist for Hamas. It really is shocking to watch. Who could have ever guessed this 5 years ago when he was giving some of the most brilliant monologues on the St. Floyd riots, where people were being murdered and cities were being burned and stores were being looted. And Tucker was telling the truth. There were a lot of other hoaxes that summer, and Tucker was exposing them all. Not anymore. Not anymore. I think in some ways he's becoming Hamas's most important propaganda weapon. Because look at who he rushes to interview. This guy, by the way, what's his name again? Well, it's in the article. The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation accuses an American former contractor who alleged that he had seen fellow contractors and Israeli soldiers use indiscriminate force against civilians at aid sites of deliberately spreading a false narrative after he was fired for performance reasons. The contractor, U.S. Special Forces soldier Anthony Aguilar, this is the guy you just saw with Tucker, alleged in an interview on Friday that he had witnessed war crimes being committed by the IDF. He's accusing Israel of war crimes, and meanwhile, you've got starving Jews in tunnels in Gaza. Okay. In my entire career, I've never witnessed the level of brutality and use of indiscriminate and unnecessary force against a civilian population. Really? Were you watching the news on October 7? Did you see any of that? Did you see any of that brutality? Well, anyway, this article says, in the aftermath of the interview, GHF holds a press briefing to present evidence that Aguilar falsified documents and presented misleading videos to push his false narrative. Here again, more phoniness and fakery. We're living in a world full of it. The GHF, that's the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. They see this BBC interview. I suppose it was before they saw the Tucker interview. But their spokesperson is coming out and saying, it's a fake. He's a fraud, this Aguilar guy. Now, when is Tucker going to sit down with the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation saying that Aguilar's a fake? The article says here, in the briefing, GHF spokesman Chapin Fay shares the content of text messages that show that Aguilar was terminated for misconduct and did not, as he claimed, resign from GHF's security partner, U.S. Solutions by Choice. He goes in there, he says, oh, I saw the atrocities, I resigned in protest, and then he rushes to Tucker. And here's this guy saying, look at the text messages. He's a fraud. After he pleaded to be rehired and was turned away, he threatened UG Solutions with retribution, Faye says, citing a message that sent citing a message sent by Aguilar on June 15th, in which he warned that he could be the company's best friend or worst nightmare. After the pleas failed to yield results, Aguilar turned to the press. And the press, for their part, I mean, they are ready to consume it. Oh, yes. Now, the video that surfaced Saturday, Mr. David there in the tunnels, looking like he's from a Nazi death camp, that didn't get as much traction. Not from the New York Times, not from the Washington Post, not from Tucker, at least not yet, not from the BBC. No, people don't care. They don't care about the truth. They are invested in the false narrative. They are invested in the fake reporting. They are invested in believing hook, line, sinker, every word coming from a disgruntled employee of the GHF. Here's a bit more from Tucker's interview with Officer Tony Aguilar, clip 10.
I have never witnessed anything as brutal, destructive, violent, and I would say that steps far over our international laws of how we persecute wars and how we engage in warfare. We've long departed from that standard. And America is a part of it.
The Israeli military, the IDF, leveled Gaza. Are there any Israelis helping to feed or take care of, sustain the life of the Palestinians, or is it all Americans who are helping?
You know, when I use the term war crimes, people think that, oh, you're just exaggerating. Well, I'm well versed in the protocols of the Geneva Convention, the protocols of the laws of armed conflict, the protocols of international humanitarian law, because
this tweet by Tristan Tate, I don't know much about his brother Andrew Tate. Sam says they're both these influential, I guess influencers is the terminology today. He says if podcasts existed in 1935, Tucker Carlson could have prevented World War II by sitting down with FDR. You may have seen the clip or the preview of him sitting down with the president of Iran. Of course, he's gone over to Moscow to sit down with Putin. If Tucker was there and he could have sat down with FDR, Stalin, Hirohito, Hitler, Churchill, Mussolini, etc., I don't feel the common man would have been so willing to die once he heard everybody's perspectives. It would have led to some countries overthrowing their own leadership and a lot less bloodshed. See, the problem was all those governments, including Churchill. I mean, they were all flawed. And if the common man would have just had Tucker sitting down and talking with someone, you know, dialogue, right? Solves everything. We've heard this before. Talking to the leaders of Russia, Iran, frankly, anybody, we're told, are the arch enemies is good. At the very least, we double down and hate them for a genuine reason, but maybe, just maybe, we may find some commonalities. And then this Tate fellow says, I certainly have never met a Russian or a Persian I dislike personally. I love them all. And of course, the implication is they all love us. And but for a few problematic people or individuals or states like Israel, well, we could finally solve the problems of the world. This tweet and many others like it and a lot of the commentary, perfect examples of peace derangement syndrome. Dialogue would have solved World War II. And dialogue solves the problem. Isaiah 33, verse 7, read it later, says the ambassadors for peace are going to weep bitterly. I mean, never in my life of 50-plus years have I seen a world where it is so prepared and ready for weeping. Once the explosions hit, there's a lot of people shuttling around the world just saying, look, if we only had more podcasters in 1935, or if we only had more that would just sit down and talk to Stalin and try to figure out Hitler and see where maybe Churchill was a little bit off. I think the common man would have arisen and said, hey, that's enough. We're going to topple our own government and then have peace with all of mankind. This is frightening. If you don't know the truth of God, to see this kind of childish reasoning, people just addicted to this kind of utopian hopium. Yeah, we'll just all talk nice and then everything's solved. That doesn't, I mean, when Hamas hears that, they get a grin from ear to ear. They celebrate that kind of reasoning. This is why Hamas is taunting Israel. Even just a few days after faking the starving baby picture, they know. They know they've got people like Tate and Tucker and Aguilar and CBS and NBC and the New York Times and the BBC and CNN, MSNBC. It doesn't matter what Hamas does. All those I just mentioned, they will believe what Hamas says. And what Hamas says is that we're not guilty of genocide. No, it's Israel. Israel's the problem. It's not shocking when you hear Hamas say those things. What's shocking is hearing how many Westerners, how many Brits, how many Americans, how many Jews, the liberal elites in Israel, swallow that kind of derangement. Melanie says, so the images of Israeli hostages who are actually being starved in Hamas tunnels have met little more than a shrug. Yeah, what's the big deal? It's just a Jew. Little more than a shrug. While Western governments and the humanitarian establishment work out ways to punish Israel for the crimes that Hamas is actually committing. Punish Israel for the crimes Hamas is committing. Look at what was happening in Sydney, Australia over the weekend. Clip 16.
The Harbour Bridge protest and the war crime, the actual war crime of the slowly dying hostages. A cruel sight the world turns away from when it's unfolding right before our eyes. Now, we witnessed a national disgrace on the weekend as our iconic Harbour Bridge was defiled and abused for a divisive protest, where flags of terror leaders were flown and death chants rang out. And as you just heard there, many of the chants that rang out on the Harbour Bridge called for the destruction of Israel and death to Jews. One protester even held up a poster with the Nazi swastika in a Star of David, the swastika. Yet, the Sydney Morning Herald today dared to claim this protest was not about Jews. Alexandra Smith wrote that the rally was a stand for humanity and that no one should suggest that the city had turned its back on our Jewish community. What utter nonsense.
Wow. I'll leave it to the Sydney Morning Herald. Yeah, it's just for humanity. That's all this protest is about. They're chanting death, death to the IDF. Remember when the singer at that music festival in Britain, he was proud of that. Now they're chanting it around the world. He's like, hey, you haven't heard this one before. Death, death to the IDF. And now it's catching on. Isn't that great? The IDF are terrorists. And then the Sydney Morning Herald, for their part, they're happy to amplify that message. You know, you see these things. And where would we be, as dark as it is in this world today, if you didn't have a few outposts like Sky News in Australia or Fox News at times. I mean, Fox News has problems here in the States. But at least they would discuss this starving Jew in the tunnels of Hamas. There's so many major multi-million dollar outlets that won't even touch it. They won't even go there. Melanie Phillips says it's the Israeli hostages who are being starved while Israel is allowing huge amounts of food into Gaza. Yet, astoundingly, in the West, it's Hamas that's gained the moral high ground. That is astounding. That less than 2 years after the October 7 massacre, Hamas has gained the moral high ground. It's, like Mike Huckabee has said, I don't understand it. It's irrational. I keep hoping our European friends will wake up and see the light. Listen again to Huckabee in Jerusalem over the weekend. Clip one.
Let me be just blunt tonight. There's a lot of insanity in this world as it relates to Israel. I don't understand it. It's irrational. When you have European countries who fought Nazis, you would think they would understand that fighting Hamas is a noble thing. And you don't blame the people who are under attack because the savages attack them. You stand with those who believe in freedom. You stand with those who believe in a civilized society. You do not stand with people who think it's okay to rape women in front of their children and to burn elderly women while they're sitting in their wheelchair and their families are watching. You do not stand with the people who think it's okay to take hostages and torture them and to keep them from their families and to use them as a negotiating tool, which is what terrorists do. And when I see some of the leaders in the countries that are putting all this pressure on Israel, when Israel would rather see this war end than anybody on earth, I wonder, they forget their own history? Do they forget it wasn't that many years ago when they begged the world to stand with them against the Nazis?
Well, I think a lot of them have forgotten their history, but it's worse than that. I've repeatedly referred to chapter 8 in the Key of David booklet, my father's booklet, about the spirit of anti-Semitism. He asks in that chapter, you know, why so much hatred for the Jews? Well, Satan hates Jews. He hates spiritual Jews first and foremost, and he hates the physical Jews as well. He hates their history, and Huckabee touched on a lot of their history that goes back to the Bible. Satan hates the Bible. He hates God. He hates God's purpose. He hates the fact that God's people are becoming spiritual Jews. That's what Paul said. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. I mean, his heart's been circumcised. His heart has converted to the truth. His heart sees and understands the truth of God, thanks to a miracle from God the Father. Our minds can be open to the truth, but here's Huckabee trying to make his way. He's the U.S. ambassador to Israel, and he's saying, I don't understand it. It's irrational. I hope our European brothers can see the light. Well, put your hope in man, and you're going to be disappointed in the end. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, lift up your eyes, look into the heavens. I mean, that introduces all kinds of other questions. Here we are. I mean, it feels big because there's, 9 billion of us on this little planet? But the truth of it is, it's a tiny little pinpoint in a universe, this vast, limitless universe, where if you look up into the heavens, you don't see physical life. You see the hand of God. And if your mind is open to the truth, you see a lot of potential. I mean, God created it all. He didn't create it in vain. He created it to be used, to be managed, to be governed, to be populated. God is preparing us for something truly magnificent. I mean, this makes me think of the Universe booklet. Why did He create it? I mean, Mr. Armstrong talks a fair bit on this, even in Mystery of the Ages, that final chapter. Read what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8 about the whole universe just groaning in travail, awaiting the birth of the first fruits, the sons of God. Satan knows that his time is short, and so he's causing a lot of trouble in this world. It's called in Jeremiah 30, a time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to be particularly bad for the nations of Israel, the United States, Britain, little Judah, and there's others in Northwest Europe as well. And so here we are. Here we are trying to make our way in this obviously evil, dying world. A moral inversion. That's what Melanie titled her piece. She said pictures of the aid trucks that Israel has allowed into Gaza, but whose cargoes are rotting because the UN refuses to distribute it, are ignored. Videos of Hamas operatives beating and shooting Gazans for receiving food aid are ignored, as are contrasting videos showing Gazans in orderly queues at the Israel-US-run GHF food points. That's the group, remember, that fired Aguilar, who then rushed to Tucker to trash GHF and Israel. It says points and who are smiling and cheering the Americans and Israelis for these are the normal Palestinians just trying to seek aid, and those that get it from America and Israel, they cheer them. But you don't see that. No. No, the Western media outlets have to ignore that. There's one narrative and one narrative alone that you're supposed to consume, and that is that Israel is guilty of genocide and that they're starving Palestinian babies all across Gaza. It's post-apocalyptic, to quote Aguilar. Listen to Mark Levin. This was over the weekend, too, clip 8.
America, nearly 100 tons. The Israelis and others have shipped into Gaza. They've attempted to ship into Gaza. Has more than enough food to feed the 2 million people there. Why don't you ask, media? Why don't you ask? Where's it gone? Where is it going? Why is the UN sitting on thousands of pallets of food and water? Why are the thousands and thousands of 18-wheelers sent into Gaza over the course of this war being hijacked at gunpoint? Who's doing that? There's evidence everywhere. Everywhere. Yet the Western media chooses to either ignore it or lie about it. Meanwhile, for purposes of perspective, Britain didn't send tons of food, water, and medicine to the Germans during World War II. Why not? In fact, they, like us, correctly targeted population centers in order to try and bring the war to an end. Israel's not doing that. It's doing the opposite. Dresden was bombed off the face of the map.
Some pretty good perspective there from Mark Levin, one of the few remaining commentators who shows a little emotion. I've got a pretty good rant from him later. If we have time, we're running out of time. But if we get to it, I think you'll like it. If not, maybe tomorrow. Melanie Phillips says, terrifyingly, people are now utterly impervious to evidence and facts. It's like he said there. If you care about the facts, it's all there. I mean, the trucks driving into Gaza, getting held up at the border because of Israel. Israel's the one allowing them to drive there. Is Israel to be expected to deliver all of it as well? Even as they're trying to bomb Hamas and rescue the starving hostages in the tunnels? I guess Israel has to do everything. And yet in the eyes of the world, everything Israel does is bad. It's a war crime. Moral inversion. The Starmer government promotes falsehoods. Well, she talks about all the falsehoods coming out of Britain, France, Canada, even in the U.S., she says it's the images of the starved hostages that will actually stay with the rest of us. Those that know the truth, those that know who is actually being starved to death. A senior Hamas, listen to this, and just try to let the full force of it sink in. Melanie Phillips quotes a senior Hamas official, Razi Hamad, who exulted, "The initiative of several countries to recognize a Palestinian state is one of the fruits of October 7. Look at October 7. Look at what October 7 has done for us, Hamas. Look at what Keir Starmer is saying. Look at what Emmanuel Macron is demanding. Look at what Mark Carney is calling for. Look at the divide we've got between MAGA. They're celebrating. They're winning the propaganda war. They know it. And so they come out with the video just this weekend and they taunt Israel. He said, "We have proven that victory over Israel is not impossible, and our weapon is a symbol of Palestinian honor." Is anyone in Starmer's camp listening to these statements? Melanie Phillips says, "Take a bow, Starmer, Macron, Carney, for empowering the Hamas genocide cult." And so the genocide cult, from the looks of it, will survive. The oppressive tyranny under which that the Palestinian people in Gaza have lived for 20 years will continue. She says Israel's now caught in a trap. It's being forced to make a diabolical choice between, on the one hand, being placed once again at the mercy of genocidal fanatics on its doorstep, and on the other, being destroyed by world opprobrium. Some of Israel's supporters have accordingly urged Israel to break free of this trap by accepting yet another ceasefire to rescue more hostages. And then she gets to the second reason why Hamas released these videos. The first one, she says early on in her piece, well, I lost track of it. Let me see if I can click it. It was at the start of her article, and I skipped over it at the beginning. But she says the purpose they released this just days after the hoax of the baby was exposed was to demonstrate the triumph of its diabolical strategy to turn the Holocaust into a weapon to exterminate the nation that was reborn out of its ashes. Yeah, that's right. The Holocaust, the spirit of it, is still here. Doesn't matter that you got your state in 1948. We're still coming for you. We still want to annihilate you. And then later on in the article, she says the second reason why Hamas released that hostage video to break Israeli hearts so badly that they will beg their government to surrender. She is absolutely right about this. Bring them home. You see the placards all over the state of Israel. We were just there a few weeks ago. Bring them home. Do whatever it takes. Get those hostages out of the tunnels. And I mean, that really tugs at the hearts of Israelis. I mean, it does mine when you see this poor Jew in the tunnel, emaciated, near death. But bring them home at what cost? Surrender? So that you just hunker down and wait for the next October 7th? I mean, what an impossible position for Israel to be in. The whole world lining up against them. And perhaps their own people now demanding, look, just cease fire. And hopefully we can get David home. Hopefully we can get some of the others. So there's still 50 there. Just make the swap. Turn over thousands of Palestinian prisoners if you have to. And let's just put an end to it. But that won't end it any more than evacuating every square inch of Gaza 20 years ago this month ended the hostilities between Israel and Hamas. In many ways, it just got going. It was only the beginning. A 20-year war culminating in what happened less than 2 years ago, and now the war rages. And what a victory for Hamas. Hamas, Iran's terrorist proxy, actually gaining the moral high ground. What a moral inversion of the truth. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.